You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Sex education has been the subject of controversy in U.S. schools, with basic questions about how to teach students about their changing bodies, sexual health, birth control, and whether some or all of those topics should be in schools in the first place. Standards can be different from state to state and district to district. Throw in political polarization around education and around social issues, but this could be a tough time to teach sex education. Our next guest wanted to dig into the experience of educators working in this field and recently completed a study where she talked with 55 sex educators from all over the U.S. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how sex ed is and isn't taught in Wisconsin? Are you a student or are you raising a student currently going through Growth and Development Unit here in Wisconsin or one of our neighboring states? What are your thoughts on what's being taught and how? Are there changes you'd like to see? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Orla Heyman is Assistant Professor of Sociology at UW Oshkosh, where she researches how people are able to navigate contentious health situations, including sex education and abortion. Orla, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into your survey, Orla, can you give us some sense of how we treat sex education here in Wisconsin when it comes to statewide standards or lack of same?
Yeah, so one thing that can be kind of confusing about sex education policy in Wisconsin is that sex education is not mandated in the state. But at the same time, HIV and STI education is mandated. And so they have a difference in scope. And just because Wisconsin doesn't mandate sex education, that doesn't necessarily mean that schools can't provide it. So really the only requirement that Wisconsin has is that if you do teach sex education, then it has to stress abstinence until marriage as the best and preferred choice. And in Wisconsin, sex education does not have to include really any information about contraception or consent or healthy relationships. And it doesn't even have to be evidence-based or medically accurate. So it leaves a lot of room for variation in whether young people in Wisconsin are getting sex education at all, and if they are, you know, what they're learning or not learning from these lessons.
So it sounds like there's a lot of leeway for individual school districts, public and private, as to how and whether they deal with these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of these decisions are really made at the local level. So there's, you know, that includes the state government, but also decisions made by school districts or individual schools and school boards.
That's Wisconsin. Do different states do things differently? Do some mandate more specific kinds of sex education?
They do, yeah. A state that is often talked about with sex education is like a state like California, for example. So they require sex education in all of their public, middle, and high schools. And it has to be medically accurate. It has to be culturally appropriate, age appropriate. And it has to cover certain things like covering healthy relationships, for example.
Orla Heyman is with us, Assistant Professor of Sociology at UW Oshkosh. We're talking about sex education in schools, what there is, what there isn't, and a survey she did of sex educators around the country. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences with sex ed in a school recently or in the distant past. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Orla, what made you want to reach out to sex educators around the country for their perspective?
Yeah, it kind of all goes back to a contradiction that I noticed. Policymakers and school boards and parents are actually largely in agreement that we need sex education in schools in order to address things like teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections. And at the same time, how we should implement sex education is really hotly contested at every level of society, with all of these stakeholders trying to influence what sex education should look like. you know, should we be stressing the importance of abstinence until marriage as the societal standard? Or maybe we should stress the importance of preventative measures like communication skills or condoms or birth control. And really, sex educators are the people who are on the ground doing this work, and they're responsible for implementing these various curricula. So they're kind of caught in the middle of all this. And it turns out there's actually been very little research that describes what this all means for sex educators and what it's like to navigate this context. So my research was really aimed at understanding current sex education from the perspectives of sex educators themselves. I wanted to compare their experiences and understand what kinds of challenges they face when they're teaching a controversial topic in K through 12 schools.
Now, depending on people's experience, they might remember any sex ed they had might have been taught by the gym teacher or the biology teacher or the teacher who drew the short straw, maybe. What qualifies as a sex educator? Who were you talking to for your study?
Yeah, it's a great question because it can actually, like you said, can include all kinds of people. So the way I defined it is anyone who delivers sexual health instruction in a K through 12 school as part of their job. So that would include both of the groups who really do this work in schools. So that's both teachers, as you mentioned, and also community educators. And so that was one of the kind of innovative parts of this research, because most studies don't actually differentiate between these two groups who are doing this work.
And how often is it teachers versus, and this is interesting as something you found or talked about a little bit, is outside independent contractors being taught and who might specialize in this kind of education more often? How common is that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't know for certain how common it is because there's been no sort of national demographic survey of sex educators. So it's a little bit of guesswork. But one of the things that I found from my interviews with sex educators in different parts of the country is that they are noting that there is, we're undergoing sort of a shift in sex education where it really is increasingly being taught by, as you said, outside independent contractors instead of traditional teachers. And so we're talking about community sex educators who work for local community health organizations and come into a school, a classroom to teach sex ed for a limited period of time.
What are the pros and cons as you think about that kind of approach, bringing in somebody maybe more specialized, but maybe they don't know the kids' names?
Yeah, it's a big question. So really, teachers and community educators, I find, can have different kinds of training and background and motivations for teaching sex ed. You know, teachers tend to be great classroom managers, and they know their students. You know, many of them have developed relationships with their students over several years. And of course, they're trained to teach as well. And so those can all be great benefits in the sex ed classroom so that young people feel comfortable covering these topics. On the other hand, though, most teachers have not specifically studied sexual health or how to facilitate these kinds of conversations. And in some cases, you might have a math or a science teacher who's teaching sex ed, and they likely haven't really prepared to do this and maybe didn't even want to in the first place. There were some sex educators who told me that teaching sex ed for some teachers is considered kind of an undesirable gig. And so sometimes it can go to the least experienced and newest teachers.
Big picture, what kind of challenges and concerns did you hear from the sex educators you talked to?
Yeah, so it really ran the gamut. So one challenge is a lack of time. So from talking to sex educators, it sounds like sex education isn't necessarily given very high priority in the school curriculum. So some places might get a few weeks of sex education, but other places might get just a few days or even just a single, you know, hour-long visit from a sex educator. And so this really puts sex educators in a difficult place, trying to figure out what topics to prioritize when they have very limited time in the classroom. And when sex education is integrated into the health curriculum, as it sometimes is, it then has to compete for time with other health topics like nutrition and fitness and substance use and hygiene and so on, which are also all very important, but it's difficult to figure out how to prioritize those. And some sex educators feel that sex ed comes too late in the curriculum as well. Sometimes they only get to talk to young people after some of them have already become sexually active, or they're only invited into schools after there's been an incident, like a sexual assault or a pregnancy. So some of them are frustrated that sex education isn't considered more preventative, and would like to be doing these lessons a little bit earlier.
We're talking about the state of sex education with Orla Heyman, assistant professor of sociology at UW Oshkosh. She recently finished a study that included interviews with 55 sex educators from around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? If you've ever taught sex education in the schools, how does what you're hearing about match up with your own experience? If you're a parent, if you're a student or a recent student yourself, what do you wish was taught when it came to sex education in your school? Has this ever been a controversial issue in your district or your community? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. Listening to Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Orla Heyman, assistant professor of sociology at UW Oshkosh. We're talking about sex education in Wisconsin and around the country. Orla's sharing some results of a study she recently finished looking at shifts and trends for sex educators and some of the challenges they face trying to do their jobs effectively. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences, a parent, a student, a teacher, yourself. 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Karee is with us in Belleville. Karee, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What did you want to share with us, Karee?
I have a middle schooler. We're in Belleville. I've been kind of just taken aback by the lack of just correct information and professionalism of our sex education department. There's a health teacher who teaches to both the middle school and the high school. My son's come back telling me that the teacher can't even say in class or won't anatomical parts, like referred to things as a carrot and a cream-filled donut. But I just, like, what kind of education is my son getting at the school if someone is even, like, embarrassed to, you know, say what, you know,
anatomical terms. I gotcha. Karee, thanks for the call. Orla, is this something you hear either anecdotally or maybe from the people you talk to directly, shying away even from basic anatomical terms?
Yeah, it is actually. And I think, I mean, it can come from a few different places. There's the possibility that there's, you know, a lack of training, especially when teachers are kind of pushed into teaching sex education without some proper education and training for them. But it also has to do with people's comfort levels sometimes. But one of the things that I heard a lot from sex educators, especially in certain parts of the country, is that some of them feel really limited in what they feel they can say or teach in the classroom. So some sex educators told me that they wish that they could teach about condoms, for example, because they know that they have sexually active students in their classes, but they're afraid that if they did, that you know, they're worried they could lose their teaching license over it. Another sex educator told me that they couldn't tell students about their full range of reproductive options if a student was sexually assaulted. And someone else told me a story about a student asking a question in class, and she told them, "Oh, I can't answer that." And the student responded, "Well, isn't that why you're here, to teach us about real life things?" And she said, yes, that's absolutely correct, but she doesn't want to lose her job. So some sex educators feel really constrained in what they can say, and they often feel like it's doing a real disservice to young people that they teach.
Corrie, thanks for sharing that at 800-642-1234. And Orla, following up on that point, and presumably teachers watch the news, they might see angry confrontations at school board meetings over sensitive social issues. District administrators see the same things. Are people just kind of gun-shy? They don't want to be the next viral controversy if somebody doesn't like the way sex education is taught.
I think some people are. And there's a huge range, definitely. But I heard from some sex educators that some schools are definitely worried about becoming a scandal on their local news, and they don't want that. But really, one of the things that sex educators told me is that they're constantly having to push against these misconceptions about what sex education is. Some people assume that sex education is encouraging young people to have sex, which, you know, sort of stirs up a lot of this controversy. And the sex educators I talked to really did not feel like that accurately portrayed their approach to sex education. For them, they talked a lot about the need to provide young people with information and tools and strategies to make informed decisions. And interestingly, not only did they talk about people having misperceptions about sex education, but that also sometimes has implications for how they are perceived by others as well. So some of them told me that they feel like they're seen as sexual deviants, and in some cases are accused of being sexual predators even. One sex educator told me about being confronted by an armed parent in the school parking lot who was upset that she was teaching sex education in the school. Another sex educator told me about being labeled a pervert in a local newspaper. So sex educators I talked to felt like they were being perceived as these sexual deviants just for teaching about sexual health.
Go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Daryl is with us in Menominee Falls. Daryl, hi.
Okay, well, this I'm calling about what they're bringing up right now and how teachers are expected to teach sex education, but when they do teach it in a practical form in the class, the parents come after them, and like you're just talking about right now, there's been cases where they're labeled as this and that, and they're just trying to do their job. My question is, where are the parents? Where is the parents' involvement in sex education? Why can't they support the teachers and be realistic about, you know, this is what you got to understand about sex. This is the way things work with the human body.
Daryl, thanks for the call. Orla, do you see successful ways to bridge those gaps when the parents don't like the very notion of sex ed, ways that teachers and administrators and parents can somehow still work together?
Yeah, well, and I would also note that really research finds that the vast majority of parents of like middle and high schoolers, for example, support having sex education taught in schools. And actually a majority of those parents support sex education that, you know, teaches about things like condoms and other forms of contraception, for example. There are those who feel more worried about that, and they tend to be sort of loud, but they are actually a minority. And so I think it's important for parents that feel like they want to support sex education in their school and are interested in what's being taught there to really get, you know, talk to principals, talk to superintendents, show up to school board meetings, and make sure that your thoughts on that are known and that they know that parents in the community really support that.
Thanks again for that call. Orla, you're a college professor. You work with students who are just out of high school themselves. What kind of things do you hear from them about the range of sex ed that they've received and their thoughts about what sex ed they received?
Yeah, I teach some classes on sort of sex and sexualities, and Often we will talk about sex education at some point during the semester. And as I've been teaching that class, I've been hearing from students who've grown up in Wisconsin. And really, one of the things I hear from them a lot is a sense of betrayal, really. Feeling like they maybe weren't actually supported in a way that they, you know, found helpful or sufficient for them in their sex education. And especially as we start talking about what sex education can look like in other places, when they realize that the way that it's done in Wisconsin isn't necessarily the only way and isn't the way that it's done elsewhere, they get a little angry about it, honestly, a little indignant.
And just our last less than a minute, Orla, what do we lose if we don't have quality sex education?
Yeah, I think that it really comes down to people's sexual health in the end. So if we want sort of low teen pregnancy rates, if we want low rates of STIs, for example, we need to sort of be talking about these things and in a way that doesn't make people feel sort of ashamed or shut down. And really recent trends reported by the CDC show that sexual activity has actually been declining among young people since 2011. But when they are sexually active, they're less likely to use condoms. And also their experiences of sexual violence have also increased, especially for female high school students. So including lessons about contraception, including condoms, and also about things like sexual violence and consent are really, really important.
Orla, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for sharing your research with us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Orla Heyman, Assistant Professor of Sociology at UW Oshkosh. We talked to her about sex ed policy in Wisconsin and a recent study looking at shifts and challenges for sex educators around the country.